The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
All right, folks, hope you're all well on this Sunday evening. Coming up on the show tonight, we'll be talking Premier League as Liverpool's Champions League hopes are all but ended by Chelsea.
Wishing the Chelsea fans very well. It was nice of them to turn up for once today. But yeah, you know, if you get a standing ovation at a stadium, it's always nice. But what's important to me is the support from the Liverpool fans, and they've been with me since day one.
There are plenty of Gaelic games in the show today as well. Paddy Murray reacting after Cork's Munster semi-final victory, while Anna Geary reflects on her career.
Everybody remembers when you lift the cup and that moment when you get the O'Duffy Cup in your hands. But for me, it was actually introducing the team to the president, because it's such a poignant moment, I think, in any player's career, because it's so few get that privilege to experience it.
I'm going to look back on the first round results and with reaction from the Football Championship.
There's a mental difficulty with the first round in Cork. It's so heavily stacked. The rewards are so massive for winning a first round game that it does, you know, there's an extra bit of pressure on you.
Rory and Lisa here with you until 7 o'clock on the show tonight. We'll also talk athletics. We'll hear from Denise O'Sullivan. We'll talk cricket with Cork County, and we'll look ahead to Cork City and Drogheda. So a lot to get through in the next 60 minutes there or thereabouts on the Big Red Bench. We are on Twitter at Big Red Bench. Follow us there. Send us a tweet. You can text us as well, 0868104106. Going to get up to date with Lisa.
All right, starting with the Premier League, Rory. The only definitive out of today, QPR relegated after losing 6-0 to Manchester City. Liverpool's hopes of clinching a Champions League spot are hanging on by a string after a 1-1 draw against Chelsea. More on those games shortly. The Ireland under-17s are beaten 2-0 by Italy today in the second game of their European Championship campaign in Bulgaria. Ringmahon Rangers' Cleavian Kelleher playing in goal there. They now meet England on Wednesday. Elsewhere in international football, the Ireland women play USA in an international friendly in San Jose this evening. That's from 6 minutes past eight Irish time. In Gaelic games, Cork will meet Tipperary in the Munster Camogie final. That's after the Rebels beat Clare 115 to 6 points this afternoon. The Waterford hurlers have been dealt a major injury blow ahead of Championship. League joint top scorer Porrick Mahoney suffered a broken tibia in a club game last night, was due to have surgery on that today. The Cork footballers played Dublin in a challenge out of Kilnamartra this afternoon. It finished Dublin 115, Cork 2-7. Kerry Minor Football Management have made one change to their team for Wednesday's Munster semi-final against Cork. Jack Morgan of Austin Stacks comes in a cornerback in place of Dingle's Tom O'Sullivan. The Rebel selection is due to be named tonight. In golf, world number one Rory McIlroy has just taken to the course, 4 shots off the lead in the final round of golf's Players' Championship. The Scarlets have been given a massive boost in the Guinness Pro 12 race to seal an automatic Champions Cup place. They've beaten Cardiff Blues 16-6 to keep the pressure on Connacht in the battle for sixth place. Nico Rosberg has won the Spanish Grand Prix. The Mercedes driver started in pole position and finished ahead of Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel in third.
Thank you very much indeed, Lisa. As I said, 0868104106. If you want to get in touch, you can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. We're going to start though with the action at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea and Liverpool. Russell Hargreaves.
Chelsea won, Liverpool won. The Reds' hopes of Champions League football next season now all but mathematically over, despite holding the champions here at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea led early on courtesy of a header from a corner by John Terry, and it was the Liverpool captain Steven Gerrard who equalised, also with a header from the set piece shortly before half time. Plenty of chances per team during this game. The Reds going close late on through Henderson, Chan and Coutinho, but it's finished. Chelsea 1, Liverpool 1.
Yeah, so after that result today, Liverpool are now 6 points behind Manchester United with 2 games left to play. However, Manchester United have a better goal difference by 14. While it's not impossible, it's looking...
It's impossible.
It's not impossible.
Okay, as definition of the word goes, it's not, but...
It's just not probable.
Yeah, okay.
I'm
the one here that should be clinging on to every hope, not you, but yeah. I appreciate that.
I'm just being honest. Like, it's not impossible. Highly improbable, though. QPR relegated today, Peter Smith.
City 6, Queen's Park Rangers 0, with the West Londoners relegated, having been completely outclassed. Sergio Aguero was their chief tormentor. He weighed in with a hat-trick with 2 fine individual strikes and an emphatic penalty. Alexander Kolarov spending free kick, James Milner's tap-in and a clever finish from David Silva added to the visitors' misery on their fateful afternoon. City 6, Queen's Park Rangers 0.
Well, if you're going to go down, get relegated, you might as well do it in style.
No such thing as a moral victory there.
All right, QPR boss Chris Ramsey.
I'm very disappointed and gutted what's happened today. More about the performance. That isn't really us from my personal point of view, you know, I would just like to thank the owners and the fans for backing us as much as they have done in these last few weeks.
And his opposite number, Manuel Pellegrini.
It's important to finish the year in the way we normally play. We have just had some bad moments during the season, and that's why we couldn't continue fighting for the title. But I think that the desire that the team reflects in this moment, I think, is very important for us.
All right, we're going to talk Camogie, and after last week's league final disappointment, Cork Camogie bounced back with a comprehensive win over Clare this afternoon in their Munster Championship semi-final, the Rebels winning 115 to 6 points. We've gotten the reaction of Cork boss Paddy Murray.
Yeah, I suppose we were happy enough with it, really. You know, the conditions were very bad at times there, you know, so to put 116 on the scoreboard, you'd have to be happy with it.
Because it wasn't always such a comprehensive lead you had. It was back to a one-point game there in the second half, I understand.
Yeah, they brought it back to 1 point with, I suppose, 10 minutes gone in the second half. But, you know, just took us probably a small bit to settle just after half-time. But, you know, I think we drove on really from there, and I don't think they scored after that, you know.
And on the back of last week, Paddy, you made a few changes.
Yeah, I suppose, look, there was a couple of things. We're playing in the intermediate final in a couple of hours' time, so I wanted to hold a couple of girls for that. And I suppose, second of all, it just gave me a chance to look at other girls as well, you know.
And how pleased were you with the performance on the back of last week in particular?
Yeah, look, I was very happy with it. You know, I'm quite happy with the way the younger ones played again, you know, that they're getting better every game, you know, so a lot of positives to be taken out of it.
And Rena and Breed played again today, Paddy, did they?
They did. They did, and you know, they're incredible, really. You know that their work rate today was pretty phenomenal. You know,
that's unbelievable now to have, you know, because everybody saw the effort they made yesterday in their drawn final with the ladies footballers, to go out again today.
Yeah, no, they put in a quite a good shift again today. You know that I suppose we would have liked not to be able to start them, but you know, we're just short of numbers with the second team playing.
So what will happen now next week with the clash of fixtures with the ladies footballers' final replay?
Well, I would hope a bit of common sense would come into it that, you know, we have three girls involved in both, so, you know, they can't be played at the same time. So you would hope that people would have a small bit of common sense and, you know, things could be moved around to facilitate them.
Who does that call have to go to? Is that about the ladies football and Camogie coming together, or...?
I would think so, that both of them would have to come together and, you know, sort it out between themselves, really, you know. I know that the Camogie, Munster Camogie, have Irish TV televising it, so I think that's causing a small problem there, you know.
Okay, we'll see what happens there. And Paddy, it's a final now against Tipperary. You'll meet. You didn't happen to see them against Limerick yesterday, did you?
No, I didn't, and I haven't seen much of them this year. So, look, it's another game. You know that, and these games are hard to get this time of the year, so we'd be happy with it, you know. But very strong in the minors this year and have been for the last couple of years, so you'd be expecting a pretty tough challenge.
Yeah, it's Cork boss Paddy Murray there speaking about the win over Clare and the clash as well that's going to happen next Saturday. What's the situation, Elise?
Very interesting. It's, and Paddy referenced that there, Irish TV are covering the Munster Championship final in the Camogie for the first time ever, Rory, and obviously TG Cahir always covered the ladies football. I think they're going to have to, it's going to have a big bearing on, it's not as simple as just changing the match when TV cameras are involved.
Yeah.
And promotion of female games is obviously a big aspect as well, you know. They want to do that, they're not going to change when they're getting the opportunity to promote these matches in that way, so it's a big headache that I don't know who's going to solve it, but I can imagine there'll be lots of talking on this.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one throughout the week, and any updates we will have it first on Cork's Red FM Sport. Alright, going to stick with Camogie, and of course Anna Geary, former Cork captain, announcing her retirement earlier on in the week, or inter-county retirement anyway, at the very least, making headlines as earlier on in the week when she announced it. Now Anna called into us earlier on today to discuss the decision, and first off I asked her simply why.
Why? Well, I think I've answered that question plenty of times during the last few days. Look, as I said before, and I'll keep saying it, it was ultimately a huge decision to make. I think it was one I didn't take any lightly either, because, you know, I've had such joy with playing with Cork, but I suppose anybody will tell you that when you're playing at such a high level, it demands so much of you, and you literally build your life around the game. What you do is ultimately... I suppose the priority has to be the Camogie. So for me,
it was about looking to my career and seeing where it was going, and I've been thinking about it for the last few months and reassessing things. So it was just really a priority shift, and I think, you know, the game itself and the team of Cork, the management, the players deserved 100% commitment, and when I wasn't able to give that, you know, it was somebody else's turn and I had to step aside.
Well, that's one of the first things I thought, where, after such a successful year last year, where did the decision, where did this thought come into your mind about return?
It was a long winter. Yeah, it was a long winter. And I suppose really every year, particularly when there's success being enjoyed, it becomes extremely difficult to make that decision. Sometimes people will say that, and I would agree that when you're not really enjoying that success, it's probably easier. But I mean, I read a lot of even AP McCoy's articles about him retiring, and I could really, I suppose, resonate and identify a lot with what he was saying, is when you're at the top, it's never going to be easy to walk away from it, because you know that feeling of success. And I suppose last September for me was one of those feelings that will probably never be replicated in my career, no matter how much longer I continued to play for. And I suppose really having that memory in me, it was like, God, you know, is this the right time to go? Because I don't want to be comparing years. And if what I didn't want was to resent it, and that was the ultimate thing that I was really conscious about, is that if I stayed on that little bit too long and looked back and said, God, I should have gone. And I think it's better off to leave something while you still love it, because your memories of it then are always going to be really positive, whereas it wouldn't have been a good, I wouldn't have been a good person to be around either if there was any bit of a doubt of whether or not I should be there. Because I think, and I've said this already during the week, playing with your county is not about playing because you can. It's a privilege, and it always has to be a privilege. And that's ultimately, you know, I suppose that's what keeps the GAA going, is that everybody that's playing for that jersey, like, is so proud and honoured to do so. And I was extremely honoured to play for Cork as long as I have done. But it was never going to be a burden or a task or something I had to do. So even the fact that started coming into my head, I knew then, it, you know, it had to be a decision I had to make.
Is your retirement kind of, I suppose, symptomatic of a wider issue in the GAA, that it's getting harder and harder to combine a working career along with your playing career?
Yeah, I think, and I mean, Twitter will actually testify to that, that it does seem to have stimulated a little bit of debate about the work-life balance of an inter-county player. Because when I read a survey there a few months back as well, and it was comparing soccer players, rugby and GAA players, and it was frightening, I suppose, how identical the patterns of training were, except there was a big gap during the day of the GAA player, and that was to signify their work or their college commitments. So I suppose that will just tell you the level of expectation that not just is placed upon players, but players place upon themselves. Because if you're playing at that level, it's so competitive now. It's so competitive among counties, with, say, within the camp themselves, and also against each county, that you have to be prepared to give absolutely everything of yourself, whether that be not just training, I mean, your diet, you know, your water, your sleep, you know, the amount you're driving, even, for example, in a job. All those things can hamper a player's performance. And I think, like that, you have to look at the wider issue, because ultimately there's always going to become a time in every player's career where they're going to have to retire. So they need to look beyond that and say, well, have I put myself in a position now that I can go on without sport, and I can, I suppose, pay the bills, and you know that you can live your life outside of that. And I was quite conscious of that too, because, you know, I've been playing for 12 years and my career was at the, I suppose, the end rather than towards the beginning. So I had to look and see, well, am I where I want to be in my career? And if I'm not, then how do I put those steps in place to be in a place where I feel I can progress?
And Anna, how do you think you're going to manage watching from the sidelines now? I mean, even today, the girls won the Munster semi-final. Like, you know, you go from the highs of last year and not involved this year. How do you think you're going to manage that?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I'm going to miss most about the game, is that adrenaline rush. Anyone that knows me knows I'm fierce competitive. Sometimes in my detriment, I think, you know, even a game of crazy golf, I want to win it. But it'll be very difficult. But it's my friends that are playing as well. You know, they're still friends that I want to win and I want to see succeed. So I suppose it's going to be bittersweet for me watching, but ultimately I'll be wanting Cork to win, so that'll always be driving, you know, the emotion on, even if it is a little bit raw at times. I mean, today now the girls play Clare and Six Mile Bridge, and I, you know, I couldn't go because it's still too raw. Last weekend I was on the sideline with the girls when they were contesting the National League final against Galway, and it was extremely difficult to watch. It was extremely difficult, even more so, not so much their playing, but them warming up and going into the dressing room and having that buzz and having that suppose that level of possibility. And I'm very fortunate that I'm still going to be playing at Milford, and you know, we're playing at such a high level that I'll still get to experience that, because I don't know what I'm going to do without that. I'm going to have to put something in place when I do eventually retire fully from Camogie. Maybe it'll be like tag rugby or something like that, but just to feel that element of competitiveness. But I mean, my heart is still going to belong to Cork, and I'm still going to want to see Aisling, my own teammate, to raise the cup in September. That's not going to change.
Looking back on your 12 years in a Cork shirt, which memories kind of stick out?
Initially after we won the All-Ireland, I had a good reflection on this, because everybody remembers when you lift the cup and that moment when you get the O'Duffy Cup in your hands. But for me, it was actually introducing the team to the president, because it's such a poignant moment, I think, in any player's career, because it's so few get that privilege to experience it. And I remember, you know, introducing them, and I named
just before
every
the game, is
yeah
it?
Just when you were meeting at the red carpet, and you know, right before the throw-in, and you know, emotions were high, and there was a buzz, and there was a great atmosphere from the stands. And I introduced each person by name, but I referred to them as my teammate, because you know, that's what they were. And I think we were all kind of going into battle together, and it was really significant for me, because I knew that, you know, these were girls that I'd grown up with and, you know, had admired for years, and I was getting to lead them in such a significant game. It was probably one of the most honourable things I've ever done as a Cork player.
Not wishing to go down a negative road around Antananarivo, but you know, we love to talk about the highs, but in an intercounty career, where are the lows, or where were some of the really tough days in your time at Cork Camogie?
God, there have been plenty of them. A lot of people would say, oh sure, you don't know what it's like to lose, but I think if I probably looked at the amount I've lost in my career, it's probably been more than what I've won. There was, 2012, the year we lost to Wexford in the All-Ireland final, was extremely difficult. I think the nature of the game as well, you know, we never really felt that we produced a performance that was capable of winning. And I think that really hurts the player, because you ultimately set out at the start of every season to get the best out of yourself. And we were going into that game with a good steady performance behind us, but that day just didn't go right from the very word go. And it's really hard to take, because there's so many regrets then, and you know, you have so many demons. And I was playing centre forward that day, and it's a position that wouldn't come most naturally to me, but obviously depending on the team, you know, you have to slot in wherever is necessary. But it was really difficult for myself personally as well, because I can remember I tormented myself afterwards. I didn't feel I got the most out of myself as a player, and any individuals like that, no matter what sport you're playing, obviously, you know, you're playing for the collective, and you're playing for the collective goal, which is to win. But everybody's got a personal expectation that they place in themselves, so that, you know, the demons come out then when you don't feel you've reached that expectation. And so it was obviously hard enough that we'd lost the All-Ireland, but then myself that year, I wasn't really happy with how I had performed. So I suppose it was back to the drawing board then. And 2013 being captain as well, I suppose that brought a new challenge, because I had to, you know, wipe the slate clean and start again, and look towards the season with freshness and positivity, and kind of forget the upset of 2012, which, as anyone tell you, is quite difficult.
And as you say, you still have Milford to scratch that competitive itch, so you must be looking forward to getting back in action with the...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe, I think, with the weather, that it's May already, you know, that it's really, you know, I think in April we got a bit carried away, so we kind of feel that we're going backwards now with the wind and the rain. But yeah, I mean, like, the summer is upon us now, it's championship time, and very lucky that I still am in a position that I can line out with Milford, and very excited about the year ahead. I think, you know, for ourselves like that, the girls are remarkable that I play with those girls, that they place such high levels of expectation on themselves, and they train as hard as any intercounty team that I've ever played with. Their level of preparation is meticulous. I mean, what they're doing behind the scenes outside of collective training sometimes is probably more than myself, if I'm honest. So it's really... it's really exciting, and we ended last year as All-Ireland semi-finalists, and you know, having been knocked out by Mullia was quite sore at the time, but it's only now when you start to reflect that we still won a county and that we still won a Munster. And you know, a few years ago we were only looking for one senior county, and to think that we've come so far as three in a row counties, three in a row Munsters, two in a row Club All-Irelands, you know, if anything, we're probably taking it for granted. And it wasn't until we actually stopped and got knocked out by Mullia that we actually appreciated how far we'd come. But this is a new year, nobody's name is on that cup now, and no amount of what you've won in the past is going to do any good when you line out in first round of championship against the Bears in the summer. And you know, we're back training now, we've come back together, and we're just slowly, I suppose, taking off the cobwebs and starting all over again. But that's what makes it exciting as well, because I think think, you know, when there's that level of possibility and nobody knows what way sport is going to go in general, so we don't know what way this year is going to go. We've new management in with us as well, which brings its own, you know, excitement and equally challenges. We have personnel changes. We have people that, you know, like me with Cork, can't make themselves available for one reason or another. But it gives the opportunity to the younger players to really step up and stake their claims. Yeah. So long may it last.
On the Cork front, though, and I hope you won't mind me saying this, you've had a very long career with Cork, but as camogie retirements go, you're still quite young. So does that mean, you know, if circumstances changed in future, could you go back to Cork or would you? Is that door open?
I know, yeah. A lot of people are telling that. Sure, look, this is what happens now. This is the trend that the players retire and after 2 years they make a drastic comeback. I was like, I don't know if my fitness levels would be up to staging a comeback. But yeah, like I am 27 years old, but I think I actually was speaking to Sean McMahon from Clare during the week, and you know, he retired in his early 30s, but his inter-county career lasted 13 years, which is a significant length of time for anybody. I just came on to the panel in 2003 when I was the under-16 captain, and we'd won the All-Ireland during the summer. And at the time, Pat Finn, you know, to be honest, he was only an extended member of the panel. I don't think I was even named in the programme in Croke Park in September. But it was just, I suppose, you have to start somewhere. And I came on that year and got 2 months of experience at senior level. Very quickly realised that, you know, there's a big leap between under 16 and senior level. But it was brilliant, really. I mean, I was playing alongside my heroes. So if you're doing that for 12 years is a long time, and I'm still playing alongside some of my heroes. But you can't really look into the future and see what's going to happen. I mean, I called it a day with Cork because I felt that it was the time and there was a new challenges and new chapters to write, I suppose, really. And it's with excitement that I look forward, but I don't know, could I see myself going back? Because more so as well, that the level of expectation I place on myself, you know, it depends. It's 100% commitment that's required to play with your county. I don't know where I'm going to be in 2 years time. Hopefully I'm still going to be in Ireland and around Cork, but you know, I don't know that. So I think you can't be looking ahead to say, oh well, I might come back, because you'll never really allow yourself to fully close that chapter then. And I think it's important that I do that, because that's the only way I'm really going to be able to accept it and fully 100% support the girls that are still playing. Mm. So
a very slight maybe. Very slight. Anna, thanks very much for coming in and talking to us, and I'm going to say enjoy your retirement, but that doesn't sound quite right.
I know
it?
I think I've coined the term stepping aside at the moment.
Enjoy,
you know,
your stepping aside.
Yeah. But I actually, before I go, I would like to say thanks to Red FM, even as captain. And I think in the last few years that I've been playing with Cork, I think, you know, the coverage and the support that you give us as well, a lot of the time it doesn't go unnoticed, what I'm trying to say. And I think it's really important that the people of Cork are listening to updates, and they're, you know, they're getting to know the players as people as well, and that's important. So thanks to everybody, thanks to my own club Milford as well. I think I wouldn't have got the honour of being captain without them, and my family. I mean, my parents have probably been the only people that have listened to me deliberate this, because nobody else. When the girls actually said to me, said, your arms must be very sore from keeping your cards so close to your chest, because I told nobody, because I had to, my decision is something I had to live with, but my parents were the only people that had an idea. So I have to say thanks to them for putting up with me over the winter as well. And look, hopefully that September will bring another O'Duffy Cup back to Cork.
Fingers crossed. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks very much.
It's Anna Geary there, reflecting on her Cork career, 12-year career in a red shirt, and talking about her retirement from the Cork Intercounty panel. Right, round one of the Senior Football Club Championship was completed last night with victories for Castlehaven and for Douglas. Castlehaven overcame Clyde Rovers 2-12-9 points in their clash in Carrigadrohid. We've gotten the reaction of Castlehaven boss Jim Nolan.
In the second half, we won by 9 points in the end. I think it wasn't a fair reflection on the performance from Clyde, with 2 goals kind of, you know, when they wrapped up the match was early in the second half.
And yeah, trailing 7-6 at half time, was this just typical championship opener and you finding it hard to settle, or what was the pattern to play?
Well, I have to credit Clyde. They came out with a good game plan, and, you know, they were probably playing with a slight breeze in the first half, so probably 7-6, I think, was at half time. I think that was a fair reflection of the play. But we came out the second half, I think Clyde scored first, but we kind of got 2 goals quickly, and, you know, we kind of took control of the game from there on.
Was that stern words at half time, or just reorganising things?
Well, I think it was just, you know, there was no great panic. Like, we just had a word with the players and you know, get them to maybe up the ante a small bit. But I think there was no great panic at halftime. I think we'd done quite well. As I said, we were against a good Clyde team, and we were hoping that, you know, that we would actually, playing with the wind in the second half and the breeze, we thought it might give us that bit of an advantage, and that's the way it worked.
Brian Hurley's sending off, Jim. What was your assessment of the incident?
I'll be honest, I didn't really see it. I saw there was a bit of a scuffle, and I just looked away. I didn't take any notice. I was surprised afterwards there was a red card. No, I don't know what the details of it is, we have to wait and see what the referee's report is, but I'm not too sure what the actual sending off is for.
So you may appeal or look into this?
Well, I'm not sure. I think we can't say anything about it, really, until we see the referee's report.
Okay, but it would be a major loss if he's missing for round four.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Brian Hurley is probably one of the best forwards in the country, and it would be a serious setback to us. But, you know, we'd have to see first what the referee says, and we'd have to take it from there. But Brian would be a loss to any team in the country, any inter-county team, and might say club team, you know.
That's Castlehaven boss Jim Nolan there speaking after their win over Clyde Rovers. Now also last night, Douglas overcoming St. Nick's at Páirc Uaireanaigh. It finished 2-9-1-7, a 10-point turnaround for the victors after going 5 behind after the first quarter. Douglas boss Tony Lean gave the assembled media his reaction after the game.
I look, overall I'd have to say, yeah, I know we shouldn't be disappointed to win a first round of a championship, but performance wise we felt beforehand if we got a performance we'd win. I thought we would win. I don't think we got a performance. We certainly didn't get a performance in the first half. The word we wrote up in the board, Woodsy, inside was precision. Like, be precise. And we were anything but precise. You know, I mean, our movement was poor. You know, we were trying stuff that wasn't on. You know, we just... It was one of those performances in the first half that we, you know, we thought we'd got rid of. We were afraid, you know. It just... It was poor. And I think probably... The most positive thing you could take going into the dressing room, Din, to answer your question, is the fact that we were 6-1 down at one stage and we actually went in 6-3 down. Yeah. So we were actually, after playing really poorly,
yeah,
and we actually only went in a score down. At 6-1, I was just saying to myself, like, please don't let this be happening again. You know, this goes back to the Skib game last August, Ballon Clan, when we just didn't show. And, you know, you've put 6 months work into something and you see this unfolding before you and you're saying to yourself, basic stuff like forwards being static, you know, not looking... And you're saying to yourself, like, this can't happen again. And the one thing which kind of gave us a bit of encouragement, and it's been happening the last two or three games against Clyde and against Clan, we had bad stages of the game. We were making elementary mistakes, but there was no heads dropping. And that's the one thing, again, you could see today. Fellas, we were making mistakes, but there was nobody giving out to each other, and the heads weren't dropping. And the fact, I think, that we got it back to 6-3 at halftime steadied us. Tone Cadigan was immense, in fairness to him. But Jeannie then, you know, I mean, obviously I know Jeannie better than the most of the other lads. Like, he's from my own club in Kerry, Jeannie Griffin. And he just did not show what he's capable of in the first half. Yeah. Like, you know, he was just, I mean, I said to him at half time, I'm 50 and I can do what you're doing. He's winning ball and he's just dishing it off, where he actually had to be more dangerous. You saw more of what he can do in the second half. Yeah. He scored 1-3. He probably could have scored 1-5.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I do think once we actually got ahead, I think psychologically in our heads then, I think everybody actually steadied it down a small bit. Small bit disappointed, now I'd have to admit, at the end to concede that goal like that. That just left another bit of a sour taste.
Followed by the miss at the other end.
Yeah, you know, but that's... Look, lads, you know it. I mean, I remember Din saying to you this time last year, like, that I did think potentially that we were a side that could go a long way. But until you are being more clinical in those kind of situations, at this level, you have to be. Because with the best will in the world for St. Nick's, you know, along the way, you're going to be meeting better teams. The bottom line is, year two is a transition year for us. We saw what we had last year. We took a decision, like, that we're going to have to start moving through some of the younger lads. Mm. And to be honest with you, moving through the younger fellas, with so many of them starting, and losing John Collins and losing Alan Cadigan, we were vulnerable today. There's no point in saying otherwise. We were vulnerable. I said that to you during the week. Mm. I felt we were, if we were going to be caught, we'd be caught today. And that's why I come back to the thing about the performance. I still did feel if we gave a performance, we'd win. And the only thing you'd say about it, and Brendan Larkin just said it there, we know we're capable of a lot better than that. The next thing now is obviously handling the gap until the next game. Like, genuinely, I mean, that is the next big issue for us now. We tried, we were going to bring on two or three lads there at the end, but we didn't want to mess them up for the junior championship in you know, tomorrow. Now we're going to give the lads 2 weeks off until the hurlers play the Bars, and then after that we've basically got to start looking and estimating and seeing what way we... It's basically like starting pre-season again. Obviously we're going to have a couple of lads are going to the States, but I would think, yeah, we'll be stronger, and I think we'll be stronger for that. There is a difficulty, lads. There's a mental difficulty with the first round in Cork. It's so heavily stacked. The rewards are so massive for winning a first round game that it does, you know, there's an extra bit of pressure on you. And look, as I said, I think the best thing about today is we didn't perform well, but we got over it.
That's Douglas boss Tony Lean there speaking after last night's win over St. Nick's at Páirc Uaireanaigh, 2-9-1-7. You were at that game, Lisa. Good performance from Douglas?
Yeah, they really got things together in the second half and came back strong. The concession of that late goal kind of really took... we should have been an 8-point win, like, but yeah, far better in the second half.
Yeah, now a layoff now until round four for Douglas and Castlehaven. They joined last weekend's first round winners, Donnies, Nemo Rangers, Newcestown, Ballincollig, Bishopstown and Valley Rovers. In round two begins next Sunday, Cabaret Rangers versus Clyde Rovers. Then on May 24th, Clonakilty and O'Donovan Ross will go head-to-head in a big local derby. The final two round two games are for May 30th, Ahada taking on the Bears and Island Rovers meeting St. Nicks. Right, still to come on the show, we are going to look ahead to Cork City and Drogheda tomorrow night. Going to hear from Denise O'Sullivan ahead of Ireland's games this week. Going to talk cricket with Cork County, going to talk athletics, and next we're going to talk minor football ahead of Cork and Kerry on Wednesday night.
The Big Red Bench,
getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.
Alright, just before we talk minor football, a reminder, the Champions League final is in Berlin. Cork's Red FM giving you a chance to get there with flights, accommodation, and of course, the tickets money can't buy. So, if you want to be in with a chance of winning this incredible prize, all I have to do, listen to the Neil Prendeville show tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. to have further details on that. It's an incredible stuff, really. I've asked the production team, I'm not allowed to win it.
Yeah, I have this conversation with KC on Friday morning as well. You won't
I really, I might put in a fake name. John Incognito. That would be that would never arouse suspicion.
Class. Like, it's looking like Messi and Barcelona will be there, like, even just to see them. Oh, it's going to be class. Like, it's brilliant final. It's
absolutely
brilliant,
fantastic. Flights to Berlin, accommodation in Berlin, and the tickets that money can't buy for the Champions League final. All I have to do is listen to the Neil Prendeville show tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. for details on how to win a trip of a lifetime, and that is with thanks to Nissan Ireland, sponsors of the Neil Prendeville show. Now, as I said, we are going to talk minor football. Cork will play Kerry in the Electric Ireland Munster Minor Football Championship semi-final on Wednesday night. We've spoken to Rebels boss Donal O'Sullivan about the progress they've made since their quarter-final win over Limerick.
Well, I suppose, like, you'd be looking to up the performance completely, you know, went on to Kerry, because it's obviously it's a do-or-die game, no second chances. So ultimately it's like a mini All-Ireland for either one of the two teams. So going to Tralee, I suppose, has its advantages and disadvantages. We're looking obviously to try and topple the existing All-Ireland champions, but at college level and at minor level. So it's an ask, like, but it's doable. And we feel we've a strong, structured team that if they turn up on the night, which is the big question always with minors, that we have a chance.
So looking at the areas of your performance that you weren't happy with against Limerick, it's obviously a long time ago now, but I mean, you know, you talked about a naive defence that night. Do you feel like you've worked on that aspect of your game since?
Yeah, we've worked very strongly on with all the coaching, you know, in the meantime with Tom and Andy and Paul and Mick. We've worked very hard on this and worked very hard on trying to make players more aware of what their, you know, their positional senses and what their duties are more than anything else. And we've made a number of changes, obviously, to the team, which will be released, I think, later on this evening, to the setup from the Limerick game. So we hope that strengthens it. And we want to be, because I mean, if we give that scope to the, like, to the carry forwards, we're done and dusted before we start.
And you were missing a number of players the last day too, players like Shane Kingston and Tom Bush. Are they back now for
the season? Yeah, they're fully back, and they'll both be playing on Wednesday night.
Okay, and even a player like Shane Kingston coming back, that will boost your attacking options, you know, maybe that we're lacking a little bit against Limerick?
Without a doubt, yeah. I mean, Shane's a top-class player and has proved it at all levels, like all the way up. Like, and we'll be looking to him to have a big night for us, because looking at a very seasoned campaigner at this level, like, he's both, you know, there's minor hurling captain as well, and he's done it with Douglas with his club. And I always believe the players that do with their clubs first make good county contenders then, because I mean, you know, they have good habits and they're well coached, and you know, we'll be looking at the likes of them. But we've a lot of leaders in our team, like, you know, a lot of guys like from last year as well on the panel, like, well, we need to step up to the plate and deliver for us, because you know, as I said, like, a lot of work has gone in, a lot of contributions by everybody from county board right down to the coaching staff to the facilities provided, and we'll have no excuses. For beaten, it will be a way better team, but we'll be looking going on there to win.
And with such a daunting task for young footballers, Donal, how are their mindsets going into it?
Very positive. Like, I mean, this is what they play football for, these challenges. They're young, guys, most of them starting off their careers, but a lot of them have had experience of playing at county level at 16 and 14 and that sort of thing, and playing with their colleges in Munster finals and in the Corneybury, etc., etc. So, you know, we'd be asking, you know, we're not asking to do anything out of the ordinary, just based on our potential. And we think that we have a panel squad this year that are strong contenders.
Mm. And what is it about this Kerry team? Like, obviously, we know the quality that they are overall, but what aspect of them would you be most wary of, maybe, Donal?
Well, their full forward line is very dangerous. Like, I mean, Keane O'Sullivan and Linnan and the full forward line, they're very experienced players. They've won colleges all Ireland, a number of them, like in the Mark O'Connor midfield with Taylor led from Kilgarvan, and they have two injury worries that didn't play last against Spear. They're coming back into the squad for this game. Like, so, you know, we know quite a bit about them. Like, and have watched them a number of times, and they're going to be very competitive. And they have the Jack O'Connor factor with them as well. Like, so that's a plus for them anyway. You know, to have such an experienced coach, etc., etc. But look, we're looking for the positives we can bring to the game, rather than obviously we've done some homework on Kerry. Like, and it's stupid not to have. But look, they've probably done the same on us. Like, and you know, today is an era where everybody's access to, you know, to videos and et cetera, and technology. So, look, at the end of the day, it'll come down to the crowd with the biggest appetite and the biggest hunger on the night.
The very best of luck to you, Donal.
Thanks very much indeed.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, and that is Cork boss Donal O'Sullivan ahead of the minor semi-final against Kerry on Wednesday night in the Electric Ireland Munster Minor Football Championship. That's at 7:30 in Austinstack Park in Tralee. Just briefly, the Players' Championship, Rory McIlroy starting today on 6 under par, 4 off the pace, but he has picked up a shot.
He has indeed. He parred the first and hit a birdie on the par 5 second. So birdie the third, birdie the third and fourth. So yeah, just one shot after four today.
So he's now 3 off the pace, which is being held by Chris Kirk on 10 under par. Right, we're going to talk athletics, and two Livelle athletes were announced as part of the Ireland team heading to the European Cup of Race Walking in Spain next weekend. Alex Wright and Luke Hickey, and Donegal's Brendan Boyce will make up the Irish Challenge in the men's senior 20k walk. Alex joins us now on the line for a chat. And first off, Alex, how's that training been going ahead of the race next week?
Yeah, training's been really good. Yeah, very good. I'm out in Spain at the moment, just doing my final preparations before my big competition next week in the European Cup in Spain. So, but no, training's been very good. So,
the team officially announced during the week, was it?
It was. Yeah, it was. It was announced when we were already out here. So, kind of, yeah, I was, you know, hoping to get selected. So, and then I was out here just, you know, just preparing. But no, I'm very, very happy to be selected. So,
I suppose training in Spain as well, Alex, ahead of the race in Spain, it's vital to get acclimatised ahead of the race.
It is, yeah, because the race is going to be in Marseille. That's probably about 30 degrees at the time of my race. So I'm in Almeria at the moment, which is on the coast. It's just down the road from Marseille, but it's very hot out here at the moment. So kind of we're just preparing for the kind of hot conditions and what to expect in the race.
And what exactly is your training like at the moment? Talk us through what your daily routine would be like.
So at the moment, I mean, yesterday was a hard day. We did 7x2K with 400 metres recovery in the morning. And we started that about 10 o'clock, and it was probably about 25 degrees when we started, and it was hitting 30 by the end of it. So on top of the hard session, it was, you know, the stress of the hot weather was also there. So I mean, the session went very well, and it's, you know, it's good to kind of just acclimatise and prepare for what to expect next week.
Is the temperature and the climate, is that your biggest challenge, Alex, in preparing for this? Yeah,
I'd say so. I mean, it's going to be a very tough competition. There's, I mean, the best in Europe, and in walking, that's kind of, you know, some of the best walkers in the world as well. So it's, you know, it's a very tough competition, and it's also each country can send 4 athletes, so it's a big field. I think there's about 70 athletes in the race. So yes, there are kind of a few challenges, but I mean, I'm very well prepared, and training over the last few weeks has gone very well, so I'm really looking forward to it. And it'll actually be my first time competing for Ireland, so again, that's something to look forward to. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that must be a massive honour. So the race next Sunday just can't come quick enough.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it. So, you know, all the training's come really well towards it, so it's just just about now it's just about preparing. The next week is just kind of tapering down and just kind of being as relaxed as possible. And I'm looking forward to the race, really.
And what's your target? I mean, what do you hope to achieve?
I'm looking forward to just going out and doing a strong performance. And, you know, if I do the best race I can, you know, hopefully I'll surprise myself with what I can do. But, you know, I've put myself in the best position to go out there and do the best performance I can. So, you know, I think as long as I just go into the race relaxed and kind of enjoy it, I'll get a good result, hopefully.
And obviously your club teammate Luke Hickey is gone as well. How does that work in terms of competing against each other, I assume, with part of the Ireland team?
It's good. I mean, because it's also the European Cup is a team competition, so there'll be me, Luke and Brendan Boyce as well. Mm. So three of us will make up a team. So I mean, we'll all aim to kind of get the best position we can, and then overall Ireland will get a team placing in the competition, which is good. And I mean, we're all, you know, hopefully we can do well in that as well. So, you know, it's looking forward to it.
Of course, absolutely. Well, best of luck with the rest of your preparation over the next week, and indeed in the race itself then next weekend. Thanks for speaking to us, Alex.
No problem. Thank you very much.
That's Alex White of Leeville there, his club mate Luke Hickey, also part of the Ireland team next week in Spain, and best of luck to them at the European Cup of Race Walking next weekend. Right, going to turn our attentions back to football, and the Republic of Ireland women's team are in Florida this week for friendly internationals against USA and Haiti. They play the world's number 2 USA side this evening in San Jose from 8:06 Irish time. Why the specific
TV coverage
time?
I imagine
it's a TV coverage.
Yeah. It's on the tent, I think.
Yeah, because 8:06 is pretty specific. Yeah, right. And Haiti is coming up in 3 days later. Lisa has caught up with Cork Women Ireland and Glasgow City's Denise O'Sullivan about the game and how they've settled stateside.
Yeah, very nice. You know, there's a positive vibe around the squad and everything's great and the sun's out. So, you know, we're all looking forward to the game.
And talk us through the sort of squad that you've gone over with, because I understand some players are tied to their clubs at the moment and there's a number of uncapped players included.
Yeah, that's right. There's a few girls that not allowed come because of their club names, obviously, but we've quite a few young players, and you know, it's great to see them coming up, and just some of them don't have any caps, so hopefully they'll get their first one on Sunday, and that'd be great to see.
Okay, yeah, and as you mentioned, the first match on Sunday against world number 2 USA, this is a tough way to start. What do you expect from this match, Denise?
Yeah, it's going to be very tough, you know. They've won World Cups, Olympics, everything. The calibre of the players is fantastic and they're all very fit and strong, but I'm sure we can put up a test to them and just go out and, you know, do our best and try and keep the ball and be positive.
And what's the main objective for you out of, first of all, the match against USA?
You know, it'd be good obviously to get a win, but it'd be very tough. But the main objective is, I suppose, just to get a good run out for ourselves and just see what way we get on against them and how we do. So I suppose that's it.
Best way to test yourself, I suppose, pitting yourself against the best in the world.
Yeah, that's it, definitely. There's definitely a few top, most of them are, you know, they're all playing with very good clubs and stuff. So, yeah, it'll be very good, and we'll definitely test ourselves out there and see how we get on. Yeah.
And what about, you're taking on Haiti then on Thursday. They are ranked 62nd in the world, I understand. So what sort of challenge will that represent?
I've never played Haiti before, to be honest, but I'm sure, you know, I think they'll be a very physical team. That's what I think anyway, so I think it'll be hard to score against them, but they'll put up a fight, and I'm sure we're going to go and, you know, think the same as against the USA. We just try and get the ball and pass it and, you know, be positive, and that's it, really.
Mm. And what are you targeting yourself? What are your own personal goals over these two matches, Denise?
Well, hopefully I play, and if I do, I just want to, you know, test myself against them and, you know, see what level I'm at compared to them, and you know, that's it really, and just it'd be good for fitness for me as well, see where I am with fitness.
And when exactly did you arrive out to Florida? Like how much prep have you had in getting ready for the USA match?
We left Thursday morning, so we got here at around 4:00 in the day, which we're obviously 8 hours behind here, so a bit of jet lag, but yeah, that's it really. We trained yesterday and we train again today, and we go straight into the game tomorrow.
And are you getting to enjoy a bit of downtime, or is the schedule pretty hectic with preparations?
Yeah, pretty hectic, to be honest. We don't have much time, but hopefully we'll get in some team activity Sunday after the game, as it's an early kickoff, 12 o'clock. So I'm hoping for a bit of shopping or something.
Good stuff, good stuff. Enjoy it. All right, well, the best of luck in both matches. That's the USA game. It's at 8:06 Irish time Sunday evening, and the match against Haiti then is on Thursday at 1 a.m. Irish time. So that's an early start for Irish football supporters. Mm-hmm. Denise, best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
That's Cork's Denise O'Sullivan there, speaking ahead of Ireland's clash tonight against the USA. 6 minutes past 8 Irish time, and it is on TV, is it?
I believe so, Satante, yeah. So it's a good opportunity to check out the Irish ladies.
Best of luck to the girls in green tonight and against Haiti in Florida in 3 days' time. Right, we're going to talk cricket, and Cork County Cricket Club suffering a narrow loss to Clontarf from the Irish Senior Cup first round yesterday. County eventually losing by 2 wickets to the Dublin side. I spoke to county bowler and world-class number 11 Andy Wootton a short time ago, and he said it was a very encouraging performance.
It was indeed, yeah. I mean, I sort of mentioned earlier that we've pushed the best side, or the best club side in Ireland, to a 2 wicket defeat, which is, you know, in our terms, just shows how far we've come along as a club. You know, they're a star-studded side, full of international cricketers and Island Air cricketers and Leinster Lightning cricketers. You know, these guys practice for a living. You know, and for us to play at that standard against this team was really a big effort from the boys yesterday.
Mm. Must be massively encouraging, though.
It is. No, I mean, it just shows you how we're coming along. You know, there's a good team spirit in the side. I think individually, you know, each player's looking at what they can do for the team and how they can push themselves against, again, like I say, some of the best players in club cricket in Ireland. But we've come a long way in such a short space of time. It's, you know, things can only get better.
Yeah, you were put into bat yesterday by Clontarf, posted a total of 144. Were you happy enough with that?
We were very happy after being 60 for 7. You know, 144. It's not a good enough score against a team of that quality. But a few of the lads dug in. You know, myself and Janaid put nearly 50 on for the last wicket, which is, you know, you wouldn't really expect at that level. So yeah, you know, commitment from some of the players, bad shot choice from a few guys, other guys digging in and grafting it out a little bit, got us into a chance, a squeak of a game.
Yeah, exactly. So going into attack Clontarf, I suppose the game plan was to just go straight at them, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, we set a very attacking field. You know, to beat a team like that, you need to take wickets. You can't sit back and let them accumulate runs, because they'd win the game very easily. So putting pressure on these guys from ball one really worked. I bowled a reasonable opening spell. Janaid was very quick from the top end. He bowled a nice spell. And then when we took the pace off the ball, when Sadiq came onto ball, you know, they started playing a few rash shots, and it gave us a chance. And again, in cricket and in any sport, you put pressure on teams, they're going to crumble.
Yeah,
you know?
I was going to mention Mohammed Sadiq's performance yesterday. 10 overs, 3 wickets, 4 maidens, sensational stuff from him.
It is. No, I mean, the guy's a class act. I mean, I think if he carries on doing what he's doing, he's on the radar for a call-up to one of the... one of the better teams, you know, maybe the Leinster Lightning, maybe even, you know, an Ireland squeak if he can start doing it on a weekly basis. But you know, he's a good club cricketer. He's somebody that's learned his trade down here in Cork. You know, he's been around the club now for the last 4 or 5 years. We love having him in the side.
You're playing Clontarf again next weekend, do you?
We do, yeah.
Yeah, so what can you expect next weekend? I mean, like, you obviously have shown that you can compete with them, so maybe you can go out and get them.
I think they've learnt a little bit about us as well. You know, I don't think they're going to go into this game as confident as what they did yesterday. If you'd have looked before the game yesterday, you would have thought, again, it would have been quite an easy victory for Clontarf, but now they know what we can do. And I think if again, other teams around the league will see what we can do against the best team in Ireland. You know, so I think we can push him again.
So you'll start.
We've got to compete. You know, we've got to do what we do best. You know, work hard at what we're doing. And again, individually, we all know what we can do. So we've just got to put it into a plan and work hard again.
Excellent, Andy. Thanks very much. Commiserations on the defeat yesterday. Best luck for next weekend.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
That's Andy Wootton there of Cork County Cricket Club after yesterday's narrow defeat to Clontarf, a side they face again next weekend. Cork Shell FM media partners to Cork County Cricket Club, so looking forward to getting right behind the guys all across the summer. Alright, before we get you out of here and hand you over to Ashley Keating for Green on Red, Cork City playing Drogheda United tomorrow night at Turner's Cross, 7:45 kick-off time for that one. City, of course, going into the game on the back of last Friday night's dramatic win over Sligo Rovers. I popped over to Bishopstown to Cork City training today and got an injury update from John Caulfield.
Everyone seems to be good. Ross took a knock on Thursday, so he's out. Hopefully back contention for the weekend. And obviously Benno and Johnny are out. But other than that, everyone else is seems okay. So, you know, we're looking forward to tomorrow night because we know how big the game is.
I'd imagine the kind of the nature of the last minute winner on Friday kind of has a galvanising effect on the team and really raises morale.
Absolutely, I suppose. As I said before, it was a difficult 2 weeks because Phil were unlucky against Dundalk. You know, Bowes maybe... A draw was a fair result, but the crucial thing is we're a point ahead of where we were last year. We're second in the table. We're trying to keep the pressure on. You know, we're the second highest goal scorers, and obviously to get a late winner, marquee strike on Friday night was good because, you know, sometimes, you know, the lads' confidence went down a bit, but you know, there was a buzz in the dressing room after the match, and we certainly needed to win Friday night, and we got the 3 points, and we're hoping that we can build on that tomorrow night.
What are you expecting from Drogheda tomorrow night?
Drogheda, a very honest team. We played them about 3-4 weeks ago and we beat them 2-1, very very tight game. I expect them to come down, sit in, try and play on the counter attack. We need to be patient, but I think if we're bright and lively and we can keep the ball moving quick and keep our passing and moving like we had the other night, because our, you know, some of our play the other night was fantastic, and we need to be lively and bright tomorrow night. So again, as I keep saying, I'm appealing to the crowd to come out in numbers. We need them right behind us. The atmosphere the other night was brilliant, and you know, we got the win Friday and we're hoping to build again on it tomorrow night.
Marcus Sullivan getting back among the goals and more importantly back to full fitness must be particularly pleasing.
Big time, because as we all know, up front this year we haven't been hitting the goals, so I think it was pleasing for Mark to get a second goal in the week, also for Shep to get 2 goals, and you know, we need our front guys certainly hitting in with probably, you know, 12-15 goals to have any chance of challenging. And you know, it was Gracie Boatlight scoring the other night, and I'm hoping that's going to be a kicking point for them. And you know, brilliant for Mark because he struggled early on. He's obviously getting a lot more attention this season, but you know, he's after getting 2 in a week, and let's hope we can continue tomorrow night.
Nice, John Coffey, ahead of tomorrow night's clash with Drogheda United at Turners Cross. Going to hear briefly from City goalkeeper Mark McNulty.
Yeah, it was. It was obviously a nice way to finish the game, you know, especially as well as for the fans, you know, to get the last minute winner. Everyone leaves happy. You know, it's 3 points. It keeps us up there, and that's what we want to be. We just want to keep getting those goals. We prefer it obviously not to have it so dramatic, but it's always good to get a last minute goal.
Yeah, Sligo kind of belied, I suppose, their position in the table. They were a lot better than I thought they'd be anyway.
I Sligo a decent team. You look through the team, like, there's a lot of the players that are there that have been there. The last time Sligo won an FA Cup or they've won a league a couple of years ago, a lot of players still there. They have a good squad, a good, you know, it's just when you're down there, the little things go against you. Like, you know, they concede the last goal against us, and I think that's happened 2 or 3 times throughout the season. But it'll turn from, and they get a lot of points off a lot of top teams, and it was just good to get the 3 points against them.
John was saying you were frustrated going into that game after the Bohemians game, the Dundalk game. Must have been a massive relief just to get those 3 points on Friday.
Yeah, that's all it was about. You know, people are on with clean sheets, and but at the end of the day, so winning the game, doesn't matter if it's 3-2, nil or 1-0, whatever way it is, just but winning the game, getting the 3 points, and no matter what way it goes from now to the end of the season, they'll be happy to win every game from now to the end of the season 3-2, and that's what we'll be looking for, just to go on Monday night and win the game.
And what are you expecting from Drogheda tomorrow?
Drogheda will be sticky. We were up there a couple of weeks ago, was it 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were up there. To be fair, first half, I thought we were outstanding. We went 2-0 up at half time, we were dominating the game. Then they had their little spell, and they put us under a lot of pressure, and they got a goal back. And then you, obviously the last 5-10 minutes, they put us under a lot of pressure. And no doubt it could be the same tomorrow. They might sit in, leave us play, but we just got to be patient. Got to try to get that goal, and if you get that early goal, they'll have to come out and attack. And hopefully there'll be another few there for us.
Especially after Friday as well, having another game so quickly must be a real kind of boost to you.
Yeah, it's good. Obviously, I'd rather be playing games every couple of days in training. Obviously, it's and you can see the buzz now with the lads out training there. Everyone's buzzing about the place, and they're looking forward to their game Monday night.
That's City goalkeeper Mark McNulty there speaking to us ahead of tomorrow night's clash with Drogheda United. 7:45 the kickoff time for that one. Monday night games always a bit of a damn squib. The atmosphere is always down. The crowd is always a bit lower than what it should be on a Friday night, and I think that kind of comes across to the players as well. And the games are always usually a bit kind of static and a bit dull. Hopefully, not the case tomorrow night, and hopefully we'll be talking about a big win for Cork City.
Camogie update, Rory. We heard from Paddy Murray earlier on after the seniors' semi-final Munster Championship win over Clare today. Well, the intermediate championship final is currently underway and Cork are playing Tipperary in this one. After 10 minutes, the Rebels are leading Tipperary 3-3 to no score. Right. So good stead.
That's pretty much it from us. Don't forget the Neil Prendeville show tomorrow morning from 9 o'clock. Could be sending you and a friend to the Champions League final in Berlin with flights, accommodation and the all-important match tickets. So just listening to the Neil Prendeville show tomorrow from 9 a.m. on Cork's Red FM, team with a chance of winning a trip of a lifetime. That's with thanks to Nissan Ireland, sponsors of the Neil Prendeville show. We are out of time. We're back next Saturday from 6 p.m. You can follow us on Twitter at Big Red Bench. You can tweet us there all week as well. And we're back, as I said, next Saturday from 6. RedFM.ie/sport is our page on the website as well. Tonight's show will be up there. Last night's show is there as well. Ashley's up next with Green on Red. Enjoy your evening, folks. We'll talk to you Saturday.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.